And starting with verse 1 through verse 7. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. And one of them, as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my lord," he cried out, "it was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it.
Thank you, Jimmy. And thank you, Ryan, for singing. You might not know it, but Ryan's not feeling very well today. And I definitely appreciate him still getting up here and coming out here to lead singing for us. I have to admit, with Roy gone, my main point of dislike today is not so much that Roy is gone, but he took my Aunt Ethel with him. And you're probably thinking why I'm despondent about my Aunt Ethel leaving is today's the potluck, and my Aunt Ethel's a very good cook. And I'll definitely miss Roy, but I'll miss my Aunt Ethel's cooking quite a bit more. The event that Jimmy just read about from 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7, took place in the 8th century before Christ, during the time of the kings of Israel and Judah, when the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms. And the two central characters in the text are a young prophet that we don't have the name for, and the prophet Elisha. Now, you've probably heard of the two prophets, Elijah, his mentor, and Elisha, which was his student. But guess which one of them actually had the longer and more remarked upon ministry? It was actually the prophet Elisha, the understudy to Elijah. Remember that Elisha had been Elijah's attendant and student during Elijah's ministry. But when Elijah was taken away, remember the chariots and the horses of fire being called on earlier in 2 Kings, as the two of them were walking along the road, ever since that time, Elisha had been the chief prophet of God and the successor to Elijah as the prophet to Israel. But before Elijah went up to heaven, Elisha made a request of Elijah. And that request was to have a double portion of God's Spirit. Now, we don't know exactly what all was entailed in that, but Elijah responded to that request by telling him, says, "You have asked for a difficult thing." He says, "Yet if you see me when I am taken up from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not." Well, Elisha did see his teacher taken up in that fiery chariot with those fiery horses, and he did receive a double portion, which he immediately proved by working a miracle on the way back. And it started Elisha's ministry, a ministry that would span 50 years and span the reign of four of the kings of Israel. And it was one that was characterized by many miracles. As I said, Elisha proved his apostle or his discipleship, his being a prophet, as he parted the Jordan River and walked across on dry land on the way back, returning from the taking up of Elijah. Later, he purifies a water supply, a large well, in a town that was dying because the water was bad. Later, we read of him multiplying the oil of a poor widow, providing for her needs during the famine. And later, he even raised from the dead the son of the Shunammite woman. He fed 100 men with just a little food, and even as Jesus did, had leftovers. He cured Naaman's leprosy and captured a troop of enemy soldiers by causing them to be temporarily blinded, just to name a few of his many miracles. And yet, for some reason, I chose this morning the floating of an axe head. Compared to his great miracles, that miracle that we talked about today in 2 Kings chapter 6 doesn't really seem to be significant. It seems like it's unimportant. What I want to do today is to take a look at not just the miracle, Acts would say probably not so much the miracle, as looking at some important biblical truths for us that we can glean from this account. Now, the text begins by telling us of a problem that the school of prophets had. Now, what a school of prophets, in the days of Samuel, what the school of prophets was where men were trained to go out and to take the law to the community. As they were tasked with first learning the law, and then they were to go out and to take it to the public. And this particular school of prophets had a problem. As their problem was, they had so many young men who were there in training that they didn't have enough room to house them all. And so they went to Elisha and said, "We need more space." Says, "We need to go out and to cut down some trees and build a bigger building." And Elisha said, "Yep, that sounds like a good idea. Go ahead." But they didn't want to be without their master. And so one of the students asked him, says, "Wouldn't you please come with us?" And so Elisha and his students went down to the Jordan River to start cutting down trees in order to build a building for the school of the prophets. And as they got there, each student doing his part. One student seemed to have an axe. And while he's working away, chopping a tree, developed the problem. It seems that his axe head came off flying from the axe and fell into the water where he could not recover it. Now you ask yourself, what is he going to do after that? Well, he wanted to continue work, plus he had an issue, as he had borrowed the axe head from somebody. And so his issue was he needed somehow to recover the axe head. And so he goes to Elisha, and we read the rest. My question for you this morning is, have you ever lost, a term I'll use for it is your cutting edge. You ever lost your usefulness, your utility in serving the Lord? Have you ever lost your effectiveness in doing God's work? Yeah, I can imagine this young prophet just swinging away vigorously, just hacking away at these trees and chopping down these trees with all of his might. And then finally, the axe head flies off and he cannot continue his work anymore. You know, let me say up front that there is no greater work in the world than building up the church. And it's a work that not just some of us are called on. Not they're just the ministers, not just the elders, not just the deacons. All of us, men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all called on to build up the church and to do our part. And so the question for us, if we have lost our effectiveness in serving God, is how do we get it back? Now, like the young prophet, the first thing we must do is to admit that we have a problem, admit that we have lost our edge, that we have lost our effectiveness. To admit that we have a problem is often the first step, and many times it is the hardest step. And we see numerous examples of this all around us, where admitting that one has a problem is the first step in healing a drug addiction, an addiction to alcohol, a broken marriage, and many other similar problems. You may be thinking that to admit we have a problem in one of these areas is even more serious and different somehow than what we find in our text with this young prophet. And besides, we might ask, how else might this young man have reacted? What else might he have done? He had no choice but to admit it. Well, when we think of that, first off, is we have no greater duty than our service to God. But you know what? Our service to ourselves and admitting things like addictions and the problems that we have in our life and working on solving those problems is part of our service to God. As God wants us to be not just good people, he wants us to be improved people. He wants to leave us better than he found us. And part of the issue of that is often admitting that we have a problem. But as we look at this young prophet, is there are many other things that he could have done. First off, he could have decided that, well, I lost my axe, the day is done. And decided that he was going to take a break and go home. I remember when I was in eighth grade, is, I'm not sure why, I'd never done it before, and my brother and sister were both in the choir, and I decided I wasn't going to be in the choir because I wasn't going to be like John and Janelle. And so I decided I was going to sign up for band class. I'd always wanted to learn how to play an instrument, but the instrument I had in mind the drums. I had in mind a saxophone. And if I couldn't get drums or a saxophone, you know, I could have maybe played the trumpet or something like that. But my issue was my brother John had already been in the band when he was in eighth grade, and guess what instrument he played? He played the clarinet. Brothers and sisters, I hated that clarinet. And one night upon practicing the clarinet, is I seized it in my hands and I whacked it on my bed as hard as I could, and the thing broke in half. And I knew why I did it is because I just didn't want to play that clarinet anymore. And so I took steps to alleviate the situation. And many of us in our lives, is, you know, it's tough to do the Lord's work. Is it's going to inconvenience us? It's going to put us in situations that maybe we don't feel like being in. But you know what? It's necessary. But there's going to be times that you're going to feel like taking a break. And you know, sometimes I have to admit, you never take a break from serving the Lord. But sometimes we are allowed to take a rest from active service. Sometimes we are allowed to step back to take that rest. Even God allowed his people a Sabbath day rest. But let us never forget that whether we're resting or whether we're actively working, is we need to be working for the Lord and improving his church. We are responsible to do our share of the work of the church, each of us. And for some people, that's going to mean cutting down 1, 2, 5 trees. Now, if you think, where am I getting those numbers from? Well, remember Jesus with the parable of the talent, what we call the parable of the talents? He says, a man went off to a far journey and gave to his 3 servants differing sums of money and told them to handle that money until he should return back and demand it back from them. And he gave to one man 5, he gave to another man 2, and he gave to the last man 1. And what did the man with the 5 go and do? He went and worked and invested. And when his master came back, he handed him back not only the 5 he had been given, but 5 talents besides. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Likewise, the man with the 2 talents did the same thing, bringing back 2 further talents. But what did the man with the 1 talent bring back? He brought back the 1 talent and said, Lord, says, I knew you were a tough master. Says, I know that you often reap where you did not sow. And he said, so I was afraid, and I hid my talent. But look, here I give it back to you. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. He was punished because he did not do what he was necessary, what he could have done. Instead of, as his master said, even investing it would have brought some sort of return. Instead of bringing a return with what he had been entrusted, he let it sit. And so often we're the same way. Is we let our talents, whether it be talent in school, whether it be talent in serving the Lord, whatever it be, sometimes we let it sit. But the problem is, you know, when a talent sits, you know, a talent doesn't remain the same if you let it sit. No, rather what happens is it withers away. But you know, you can pick it up again. But we are responsible for doing our share of the work of the church, each of us. And that whether that share is a small amount or perhaps it's a large amount, we are responsible for doing our share because God has given to each of us talents and abilities that we can assist the building up of the church. And you know what? If somewhere along the way we find that we've lost our edge, that we need to be restored, our effectiveness, let's not make excuses and continue our break. Because, as I said, God has not given us permission to stop working until we enter that rest that he has made for us, his rest in heaven. But neither should we, because of pride, ignore the fact that we have a problem. and just go through the motions of service. You know, that fellow with the axe, you know what he could have done? He could have pretended he was working. I mean, some of you are supervisors in your jobs. Do you ever have an employee who kind of pretends he's working? And every time you look his way, he acts like he's busy or act like they're busy? He could have done that. He could have continued beating on them trees with that axe handle. And at the end of the day, probably no one would have been the wiser, except he wouldn't have gotten done what needed to be done. See, here's the thing, though, about losing our effectiveness. How many of you have lost? I'm going to say lost because I don't know if you're like me. I do this almost every time. Is I have to leave my keys and my wallet at a certain place in the house before I leave. As I don't like having them in my pocket. Matter of fact, my keys are sitting over there. My truck's not here, so don't get any ideas. But I have to have my wallet and my keys in a certain place. But how many times have you forgotten where you put them? You put them down someplace where you don't normally put them, and I forget where I put them, and ask around, have you seen my keys? Have you seen my wallet? And what's the reply most of the time when you hear something like that? Start off with where you saw it last. You know why? Because usually when you lose something, it's where you last saw it. It's where you left it. And that's the same way with this spiritual truth about restoring our effectiveness for God and the work of His church. If you take a hard look at yourself and realize that perhaps I've lost my effectiveness in doing for God the kind of service that I need to do, in using my talents effectively in the work of the church. If you've lost that effectiveness, it's where you left it. You can go back to where you left it and you can pick it up again. You know, there are several men in this congregation right now who are excellent examples of that. Who sometimes went long times, not just stepping away from the work of the church, but stepping away from the church entirely. You can always come back to where you left it. That's not just a really good way to find something you lost, but it's a good way to find and recover your effectiveness for Christ. Now, the other thing this prophet did that was a good thing is he knew where he needed to turn in order to resolve the situation. Is he went to Elisha. I mean, it must have seemed an insurmountable problem. Here he is. He saw where it went in. He doesn't know exactly, though, but he can't get it out of the place where he put it. And so he goes to Elisha. And in verse 6, Elisha responds, "Where did it fall?" In other words, the same question about losing our keys or our wallet. Where did you have it last? And they go back. Now, you know what? This guy probably certainly didn't plan on losing his axe head, did he? He didn't want to. It's just the way it happened. And that's the way it happens with us sometimes. We don't want to do it. But you know what? Sometimes, and it never happens all at once. You just don't all of a sudden decide, you know what? I'm just going to stop doing anything. I'm just going to stop coming to services. I'm just going to stop coming to class. That never happens all at once, but it happens in stages. Maybe a couple of times you decide, you know what, I just not feeling well today. And you know what, God understands when we're sick. But I'll tell you what, is every time I feel not well, and I even contemplate the idea of not coming to services to meet with all of you, is I've got no further to look than Charles and Judah Sharnagle. And some of you others here in the building, you guys are inspired examples to us. Because in spite of all of the medical issues, Hazel, you're another one. In spite of all the medical issues and physical problems that you have, is you still manage to be here every time. And you know, that's an inspiration to all of us. But when we're contemplating recovering our effectiveness, that's the question we need to ask is first, where did we have it last? But then after we determine where we had it last, one question we need to ask ourselves is, why did we lose it? You know, some reasons people have given to me as to why they stopped doing things for the church. As they said, they once said he dropped out of Sunday school, doesn't come to Sunday school anymore because he doesn't think it's that important for you to know more of God's word. So his idea is just knowing a little bit is all that God wants. And God can't hold you accountable for you what you don't know. So if I remain ignorant, then I don't need to know anymore. I don't know about you. That doesn't make a very logical argument to me. It's basically I want to remain dumb in case I need to know something. Another one is, you know, I stopped attending church because they're just a bunch of hypocrites over there. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters. We are not here today, and I love all of you, but we're not here today to worship each other. We're here to worship God and Jesus and what he's done for us. And I'll tell you what, the church is made up of people. And as people, sometimes we offend each other. And sometimes we make each other mad. But if we're going to use the things that happen in between each other as a barrier for our service to God, as you're missing the point, we're not here to socialize. Although it's an important part, our fellowship together is an important part of strengthening our bonds together in Christ. But our intention here is to come here to worship God. Another one said, I stopped coming because, you know what, I just didn't like the way things were going. You know, what turns out is their point, they didn't have it their way. Well, we're not in Burger King. Is you can't have it your way all the time. You know, one of the questions that someone asked me several months ago was about some of the things we do here in worship. For instance, why do we use instrumental music? Or why don't we use instrumental music? And he says, it sounds better. You know, I like listening to instrumental music too. I like listening to symphonies, I like listening to bands. But the reason we don't do it here is because that's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to sing and make melodies in our hearts and praises towards him. Is we don't do the things we want to do because we think it sounds better. Or because we think it's more pleasing to the ear. Or I'll tell you one thing that really gets me, because we think it's going to draw more people in here. God did not call us to bring in pew sitters and people to be entertained. Rather, when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he said, go therefore and do what? Go therefore and make disciples. And you don't do that by bringing them in to be entertained. They just said, you know, I just stopped studying because, boy, it just got too difficult. It took too much of my time. But there's a lot of what one person told me. He says, you know, people have many excellent excuses. And you know what? That's true. Is there's a lot of times we know what we ought to be doing, and in order to rationalize why we're not doing it, we have many excellent excuses. As I said, the first thing we need to do in recovering our effectiveness is to admit that we've lost it, and then to find out where we had it last, that we might return to that place. And then finally, to go to the source that will overcome it. And that source is to come back to God, to come back to Christ, to keep praying, to keep studying, to keep fellowshipping together. Why? Because these things strengthen our bonds in Christ and allow us to be more effective in his service. I want you to notice that Elisha didn't provide a Houdini or David Copperfield moment here. If you don't know who those two gentlemen were, they were famous magicians. Elisha here doesn't just levitate the axe head out of the water and says, here it is. But rather, he brings it up. And remember, what did he tell the prophet then? He says, pick it up. Why? Because we each have a part to play in our own recovery. Now, with this miracle, though, is it clearly illustrates three truths about God. And the first is, God is concerned with you as an individual. Let me ask you, was that young prophet the only one that day who was cutting down trees? No, of course not. But he is the one not just to whom this passage is concerned, but he's the one upon whom Elisha is concerned. He's the one upon whom God is concerned. With God, there are no problems too small to bring to his attention. You know, a good verse for you to memorize, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Our Father wants us to cast all of this. Jesus said, bring me your yoke. Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and light, he says. Do you have any problems or concerns today? Have you cast them upon God? Why don't you? You know, yes, a man losing an axe head might not seem like that big of a deal, but God cared. He cared enough by it to act through his power, through the hand of Elisha, to restore it to him. And like matter, we might think that, you know, one Christian is, God might not even notice our absence. After all, doesn't God have millions more who are Christians? But God cares because to him, we are a big deal. Because God knows that serving him is what is best for each of us. Have you ever noticed that problems keep coming and answers seem harder to find when you're apart from the church, when God and his church is not in the center of your life? When God is not in the center of your life, as your problems begin to grow. And that's because not only do you not have a means to take your problems to, but you don't have anybody to help you bear your problems either. Thanks be to God that through Christ, is he not only gives us avenues of escape, but oftentimes he even gives us the ability to bear with the situation. In the book of Luke, we find the discourse between Mary and Martha. Jesus goes to visit Mary and Martha in their house. And Martha is very concerned with making everything as perfect. And I have to admit, as my mom was like this, so I can kind of understand where Martha's coming from. Is especially if she knew you were coming over, is there was just a whirlwind of activity because she wanted to make sure everything was clean and spick and span. And I know a lot of you ladies are the same way. Guys, I have to admit, sometimes we don't even notice. But Martha was like this. And while Jesus is teaching and Mary, her sister, is sitting at Jesus' feet of Jesus, listening to him teach the word of God, Martha's in the kitchen, preparing what was necessary in her eyes. And she's getting more and more angry with every moment that passed by because her sister, Mary, wasn't helping her. And the Bible says that Martha was distracted for other things. And Jesus said to Martha, 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 says, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. If you're taking notes, that's Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Jesus knows that in our lives, the most important thing for us is not what we're going to do physically. It's not what we're going to wear or what we're going to eat. But it's spiritually in our life. Where are we in our relationship with God? Be honest with yourself today. Be honest with myself. It's a call for me. I never preach a lesson that I don't intend for myself. As a matter of fact, most of my lessons, I'm not shooting in the bushes at you guys. I'm aiming at myself and hoping some of you guys have the same problems I do. And so today, we need to be honest with ourselves and take a long and serious look at our effectiveness for Christ. Because a lot have adopted the motto, I would see it in the world, and it comes to the church. It's the idea of, what can the church do for me? You see, we're a product of our culture, and our culture has changed drastically in recent years. Do you remember not so many years ago what John F. Kennedy said in his second inauguration? So he won election to the White House and asked in that second inauguration speak, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." But you know, we've undergone as a society a change for the worse, and so many people today look at our government, and even worse, look at the church as a place not to come and serve, but a place to be served. What programs do you have? What do you mean I'll have to teach? I'll come just as long as I don't have to do anything. What God has called us to, what Jesus called us to, is not to come and just sit around at his feet, but to be servants. He says, "I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." And he calls us to service as well. You know, when we make a decision that we're going to want to go to God and ask him, whether it be in prayer or what have you, to restore our effectiveness, is we are told that seeking we will find. And you know what? When we seek our effectiveness again, we're going to find it again. But remember these truths we talked about this morning. First off, it's got to start off with recognizing that there is an issue. That we're not as effective for the work of the church, for the work of God, as we should be. And then to ask, as I said, as I do with my keys oftentimes, where did I leave them last? Because oftentimes both our effectiveness and other things in life, it's where you left it. And sometimes we need to go back to where we left it in order to pick it up again. And then finally, we need to go to the one that can restore our effectiveness and work hand in hand with him. You ever notice in that passage, as I said, Elisha didn't levitate the axe head out of the water, but what did he tell the prophet to do? He said, "Go pick it up." You know, that's what God tells us to do in his service. It's not to sit back and let me take care of everything, but go pick it up. Go get it. And with all that, then, it's up to us. The question for us becomes, what are we going to do with what God is telling us? And the temptation is going to be to ignore it or to rationalize it. So, well, I'm not really that bad. I'm not doing that bad. Is there others who are doing even less than I am? But as I said, as each of us have been given, whether it be talents or whatever you want to regard it, but we've been given abilities in this life by God. And these abilities are to be used in his service. Finally, I want to look at this morning, or not look at, but to remark upon this morning, that a perfect example in Scripture of one who had this issue, who for a very long time was an effective servant of God. He might not have seen that maybe the ideal servant of God is, if you're looking for an image of morality, is I wouldn't pick Samson. As he certainly had a lot of moral issues in his life, but he was effective at the work that God had given him to do. Until all of a sudden, by various means, as he lost his focus. And do you remember what happened to him? He allowed his girlfriend to trick him into doing what God had told him not to do. God said, "Don't cut your hair," as part of your being a Nazarite. "Don't cut your hair." And he told her that if you cut my hair, my strength will go away. And guess what? She had a barber come in and shave his head, and he lost his strength. He lost his effectiveness. And what happened to Samson after that? Do you remember when they came to get Samson that last time? What did he say to himself? Samson said, "I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do what? I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to fight. And I'm going to beat him up just as I did all the other times." The only difference was, what was wrong this time? Is the effectiveness had left him because he had not obeyed God. He had gotten distracted. And those people took him. They bound him in chains. They blinded him. And they set him to mill their grain like an animal. But as Samson went round and round, or it says as Samson reflected upon what had happened to him. And in the end, as he repented before God, and when they took him to their pagan temple to make sport of him, is he put one hand on one pillar of the temple, one hand on the other, and prayed to God to give him the strength to revenge himself upon his enemies. And in Samson's last moments, in his return to God, he was more effective at doing God's work than he had been in the entirety of his previous life. Now, you know, I don't expect to ever be called on to that sort of service. But, you know, we are all called on to service. And if we find ourselves in a situation where we know that we've lost our effectiveness, we've lost that zeal for God, is we can always pick it up again. That's one thing about being a Christian, is God is always ready to listen to the cries of his children. He's always ready to respond to us when we repent. And you know, this is something that sometimes we might need to repent of. And we have the example of Samson as one who had this issue in his life, and we see the response that God had to him when he repented. And so this morning, the question we ask of ourselves and the question I ask of myself is, how effective am I allowing myself to be in the service of God? And you know what? If I've lost my edge, where did I lose it? And how can I pick it up again? That's a question that confronts each of us this morning. But this morning, there's an even more pertinent question. And if you're not a Christian this morning, that question is this: what will you do with Jesus? Is he came to this earth to die for your sins and gave himself up as a sacrifice for many? You know, just about everybody knows John 3:16. If you even don't know it yourself, as you oftentimes see it at sporting events and all sorts of other things, it starts off, "For God so loved the world." You know what? An even more personal way for me to look at that is, "For God so loved me. For God so loved you. For God so loved us that he gave his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins." And you know, when I recognize that, is what we're called on to do is act in obedience and respond in faith. Because as Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So with those thoughts, if you need to respond to the invitation this morning, whether for prayers or whether to respond in faith to baptism and obedience to God, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and we sing.